A new joint task force is being formed to tackle violent crime in the nation's capital. It's a joint effort of the federal and city governments, and it's the latest response to what the city has declared as a crime emergency. NPR's Libby Lewis reports.
U.S. Attorney Kenneth Weinstein announced the new task force.
No one of us has the silver bullet that can reduce crime. But together, we do have the silver bullet, and that silver bullet is teamwork.
At his back were rows of officers from the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department, the U.S. Marshal's Office, the FBI, the Secret Service, the U.S. Park Police, and other federal agencies. None of them were smiling. D.C. Police Chief Charles Ramsey said the combined local-federal task force will focus on identifying the criminals who are doing the most damage and getting them off the street.
We'll also be gathering information about individuals that we believe are associated with crime. We'll be going back looking at old cases that they may have before the courts. It may be a case that had been no papered in the past that U.S. Attorney will review and see whether or not charges ought to be brought forward with those individuals. We'll be executing warrants.
Here are the facts that led the city and now the federal government to weigh in on crime in the District of Columbia. An increase in robberies. As of mid-July, there have been 2,140 robberies, compared with 1,887 robberies by that time last year. Those include several widely publicized robberies and assaults of tourists on the National Mall. There was also a spike of 15 homicides in the past month. Most of them occurred in the city's black neighborhoods. One was the widely publicized murder of a young British man and the robbery and sexual assault of his female companion in upscale Georgetown. Behind the headlines, everyone from the mayor to the police chief to the U.S. attorney has been quick to stress that overall, serious crime has plummeted in the district since the late 90s. Indeed, the district's crime rate last year was lower than it has been in decades. But this summer's crime news has pushed those numbers into the background. And so perhaps has politics. Of the city's 13 council members, 7 are running in the district's primary election in 2 months. This week, the council voted to declare a crime emergency. That gave it the go-ahead to tighten a youth curfew, to fund 24 surveillance cameras in some neighborhoods, and to allow police to get access to some confidential juvenile arrest records. Today, Mayor Anthony Williams praised the council's action.
These are just some of the common-sense changes that enjoy overwhelming community support.
Adrian Fenty is a D.C. council member who's running for mayor. He was the only council member to vote against the emergency crime declaration. He called it window dressing by a council under political pressure to do something about crime.
I will vote yes on matters I think are substantive and respond to increases in the crime wave, but I will vote no on measures which I think are just feel-good measures. To make people feel like we're doing something.
The council's actions allowed it to authorize about $17 million in emergency spending. About half of that, $8 million, will go to paying police overtime over the next 60 days. Not everyone agreed with the council's actions. In a plain white row house east of the Anacostia River, a group of 9 D.C. teenagers met the day after the council vote. They were at the meeting to show their objections to the council's approach to crime. They're part of the Youth Education Alliance, and their goal is to improve D.C. public high schools. Sophomore Renee Edwards and her fellow students were clear about where they thought the council should be spending more money.
Into the schools.
Because some of these schools out here are just terrible.
Spend more money on giving kids more to do, they said, and spend less on law enforcement. Libby Lewis, NPR News, Washington.